We shall begin the public worship of God by singing to his praise in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We'll sing this whole psalm, the first version of Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Know that the Lord is God indeed. Without our aid he did us make. We are his flock, he doth us feed. And for his sheep he doth us take. Psalm 100, to God's praise. Stand to pray. O Lord our God, we lift up our hearts to worship Thee, the great God, the only God, God over all, blessed forever, the God that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, who is a God like unto Thee. How great Thou art! Thou art infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In thy being, wisdom, righteousness, holiness, power, justice, truth, goodness, love. O Lord, how great thou art! And we here before thee, sinful creatures of the dust, we bow before thee. We have sinned, we have gone astray, everyone, following after the desires of our own hearts. We deserve nothing but thy wrath and curse. But yet, O Lord, we rejoice that we have a Saviour. We praise thee for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became man, who suffered and died for us on Calvary's cross. We rejoice that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, today we look to Jesus. He is our only hope. There is none other name given under heaven among men through whom we must be saved. We thank thee and praise thy name that we have a Saviour, a mighty Saviour, an all-sufficient Saviour, and our hope and confidence is in Jesus alone. As we come before thee, we come confessing our sins. Lord, forgive us for our idols. Forgive us for the poverty of our worship. Forgive us for taking thy holy name so lightly upon our lips. Forgive us for not keeping thy day holy as we should. Forgive us for not honoring those whom thou hast set over us in positions of authority. Forgive us, Lord, for hatred and for lust and for stealing and lies and covetousness. Every commandment we have broken. All we like sheep have gone astray. O Lord, our God, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But we bless thee that there is a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. We praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on our behalf. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so today we look to Jesus. We trust in the shed blood of Calvary. And we rejoice that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And so we rejoice in God our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ our beloved, and in the Holy Spirit our friend. We pray for thy blessing to be upon us, thy blessing upon our worship, that it might be acceptable to thee. Take from us all that would distract us in worship, and help us to call upon thee in sincerity and in truth. Bless, Lord, each one of us. Thou knowest our particular needs. We pray for those who are struggling at this time, those who have questions and fears, those, O Lord, who are beset by temptation. Lord, strengthen thy people. Grant us the grace to through the Spirit, to mortify sin in our members, to die daily unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Grant us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to make progress in the Christian life. Keep us from being barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant, O Lord, that thy Spirit would work in us mightily and powerfully, shaping us for thyself. O, keep us, Lord, from pride, cursed pride. Keep us from thinking there's something good in us. Keep us, Lord, from comparing ourselves favorably with others. And help us to prefer others rather than ourselves. Help us to respect others. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves at thy feet, for it is those who humble themselves that thou wilt exalt. Enable us to remember that when we are weak, then we are strong. And grant that we would remember that in the work of the ministry, we can do nothing without thee. In good works, what can we accomplish without thy help? We need thee constantly. We pray for thy Spirit to help us in our worship today and in all that we do, but not just today, but tomorrow and all the days of our life, that the Spirit would help us, that we would walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, that we would be led of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and that we would know the joy of the Lord in our hearts, and that we would walk with thee each day, walking with thee as Enoch did until he walked straight into heaven. We pray, Lord, for blessing then to be upon us, blessing upon our presbytery, upon every minister and every elder, every deacon, every member, every adherent and child. Bless us, Lord, as a presbytery. Bless us as a church. Bless us, Lord, as churches in this land. Bless, O Lord, thy cause in our country. It grieves us, Lord, even this very day to see our city desecrated by the pride of man. Man who has pride in boasting against God. Pride in his sin and in his immorality. Deliver us, O Lord, from immorality. Wickedness, it seems, is coming in like a flood. But may the Spirit of the Lord raise up a standard against this wickedness. We thank thee, O Lord, for the great reformation that came to our country in the 16th century. We thank thee, Lord, for the second reformation of the 17th century. We thank thee for revivals. We thank thee for the disruption. We thank thee, Lord, for movements of thy Spirit down through the centuries. But, O Lord, our God, how much we need thee today. We are conscious of our weakness. We are conscious of the wickedness around us. We are conscious that Satan seems to be triumphing. But we know that at the end of the day, Christ will triumph. He is more than conqueror, and so are we through Christ. Grant, O Lord, then, that we would be strong in the Lord in our day and generation, that we would serve thee, that we would be faithful witnesses, that we would be diligent in living out the gospel, in fulfilling the commands of God, in reaching out with the glad tidings of great joy to a perishing nation. Help us, O Lord, to preach the word, to preach it in season and out of season. Help us, Lord, to preach with our mouths and to preach with our lives. And may we be a blessing to all who are around us. Oh, how much we need thee to come, Lord, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down, that thou wouldst do a great work in this day of ours, that thou wouldst show thyself in all thy glory, that thou wouldst pluck that arm of thine out of thy bosom and stretch it forth to save. How much we need thee, Lord. Oh, come, we pray thee. Come again. Turn us again, Lord God of hosts, and upon us vouchsafe to make thy countenance to shine. And so we shall be saved. That in thee may thy people joy, wilt thou not us revive. Show us thy mercy, Lord, to us. Do thy salvation give. Grant, O Lord, that thou wouldst revive and quicken us, and do a great work, we pray thee, in our day and generation. So bless us now as we are involved in remembering the ministry of these two older ministers. We thank thee for them and all their labors over the years, and pray that thou wouldst continue to bless them. And we pray too for thy blessing to be upon the minister who is joining with us today, and that he would be used by thee and endowed with the Holy Spirit and be mighty in preaching thy word and in pastoring thy flock. Bless us then, O Lord, each one. Bless thy word to us as we read it. Help us to understand and appreciate it, and forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall now read God's word in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and the third chapter. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Amen. And may God bless to us this reading of his word. Let us for a little turn to verse 6 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We're here today to mark the 50 years of service of two of our senior ministers. And we're also here today in order to mark another minister joining our church. It's a time for looking back over the past half century, recognizing the labors of these men, but giving praise not to the men, but giving praise to God, who enabled these men to serve him. Without God, we can do nothing. And anything we try to do without his help is a failure. We need God, and we need God's help. And with God's help, There's no limit. But without God, we're in a difficult situation indeed. Here we're told, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we're looking back at what these men have done over the years, but we're also looking ahead. We're looking into the future, and we're looking up to God. Through my God assisting me, I overleap a wall. With God's help, we can do great things. Well, first of all, we have here then today two good men. Paul was one of the greatest men ever. He was born in Tarsus, in the region of Cilicia, and what would be Asiatic Turkey today. But he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, a leading rabbi. He was taught well in the scriptures, and he excelled above his contemporaries. He was gifted, intelligent. He applied himself with diligence. He was full of zeal. And in fact, his zeal led to him persecuting the church of God. When the Christian church began, he saw it as a heretical sect. And so, with zeal and enthusiasm, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was a tremendous missionary, preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, Damascus, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, all the way to Philippi and Thessalonica and Athens and Corinth and Rome, preaching God's word, planting churches across the world. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament, more than anyone else. He came to Corinth and he planted the church there. That's Paul. And then we're told here about another man, Apollos. We first come across him in Ephesus. At that stage, he only knew about John's baptism. But he was from Alexandria. And in Alexandria, they had schools amongst the Jews where they studied typology and the Old Testament. And when he came to Ephesus, he was mighty in the scriptures and he was an eloquent man. He received further teaching from Priscilla and Aquila and Paul, and he made his way eventually to Corinth. Paul had planted the church there, and Apollos watered the church. Two great men. And here we are today, recognizing two ministers from our own circle. One of them, a man who came from the island of Skye, a Gaelic speaker, the son of a Free Church minister. The other from the south of Scotland, the son of a miner, a Scots speaker, broad Scots. Both these men, very different in their backgrounds, different in their outlooks, different in their personality, but both of them have labored for 50 years. Mr. MacLeod in Ullapool, and then in Duke Street, Grant Street in Glasgow, and latterly in Arran. And Mr. Scott in Moyabamba in Peru, and then in Duthal Doors in Invernessshire, and then down in Dumfries, but also out in Eastern Europe and in Spain and different places. These two men laboring for the Lord. But who were Paul and Apollos? We're told here in verse 5 that they were ministers, servants. Who were Mr. McLeod and Mr. Scott? Servants. And it's so important to remember that. We are just servants. We're not to seek for ourselves honor and glory. We're not to lord it over others. We think of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. That's the way it should be. Let us think little of ourselves and let us think much of Christ. Servants. And yet there's a wonderful honor in being a servant of the Lord. I love the way the book of Joshua begins. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. And God spake to Joshua. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? What an honor it is to be a servant of the Lord. Two good men. But then notice our great God. The Corinthians were wrong. They made too much of the men. Some said, we're of Paul. We love Paul. We think Paul's the greatest. We're belonging to Paul's party. Others said, we think Apollos is far better. He's far more eloquent. He's got a better personality. There's certain things about him that we really like. We're on Apollos' side. And so these parties came about in the church in Corinth. Now, there should be no parties among us. We're one family. We're brothers and sisters. We should love one another and delight in one another. And we should love to praise one another and think more highly of others than we do of ourselves. So Paul here says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered. But, God gave the increase. And it's the increase that matters. God gives the increase. Not one soul can be converted by man. It's God's work. It's God's work to bring forth fruit in the life of an individual. Some plant, some water, some do both. But only God gives the increase. So we have to lift up our eyes and to see the one who's reigning on the throne of heaven. And surely if God is teaching us anything in our day and generation, it's this. That we are weak. We can do nothing. We labor and we see nothing happening. We preach and there seems no fruit. We look at our churches and we see them declining. And what is God saying to us? Humble yourselves before me. Without me, you can do nothing. Recognize your own weakness. Get rid of your pride and your boasting and your showing off. And just think, I'm the one who gives the increase. Me and me alone. Surely that is what God is emphasizing for us today. All glory must be given to him. Paul ministered in a very difficult day. There were times when he was beaten, times when he was whipped, times when he was put in prison, times when he was stoned, and he was eventually martyred. Now, that kind of rough treatment doesn't happen to us in this country today. It does happen in certain parts of the world. And Christians and ministers are persecuted in North Korea, in Iran, in Nigeria, in so many different countries. We have freedom here, for which we are thankful. But then we have another problem today. Our problem is not so much the persecution. Our problem is the apathy. People just aren't interested. They don't care. The indifference. We have a wonderful gospel to preach, but how can we get people to hear it? We go out onto the streets, down to the center of town, but people walk by, they're not interested. We go round the doors, we try to invite them along to hear the gospel, but they're not interested. Sometimes they might come to church and listen to a bit, but they say, it's too hard, or I don't want to make that kind of commitment, or you're too strict, or something like that. And they turn and they walk away. They're not interested. So that's our great problem today. And of course, God is the one who makes people interested. And it's amazing how God can make the most unlikely people to be interested and to be concerned and seeking the Lord. These two older men who've labored for 50 years, they have seen much change. But God still has his elect. And God is still converting sinners. We would love to see more. Mr. McLeod planted. Mr. Scott watered. God gave the increase. But oh, we look for more today. But what of the future then? I remember when I began my ministry, I actually entered college the year these two gentlemen left. I remember two old ministers, when I began my ministry, talking together. And they were saying, we really wouldn't like to be starting our ministry today. Well, I was a young man, full of enthusiasm and zeal, but there they were saying, we've seen such changes in our lifetime. I wouldn't like to be beginning my ministry today, they were saying. They were glad they had come to the end of their lives. But in these 50 years, what changes there have been. How much more it seems today that for some of us, how hard it would be to be beginning our ministry today. As we think of the Pride March going on in Glasgow today and the showing off of immorality and filth in our city. We think of the way marriage has been destroyed. We think of the abortions going on in our society. The ungodliness, the atheism. How difficult things are. But what we must remember is God has his plan. God is on the throne. God is still reigning. He has his purposes and he's carrying them out. He is the one who calls men to the ministry and sends them forth. And he is the one we believe who has brought Mr. Farms to join with us in our church today. And we thank God for that and we seek blessing, rich blessing to be upon his ministry amongst us. It seems to some of us far harder to be a minister today than it was in the 1970s. But in a sense, it's not any harder. All we can do is plant and water, but God does the hard work. He gives the increase. And he will give what increase pleases him. And let us remember, no labor in the Lord is in vain. What we do for God is worthwhile.
and might seem very, very small in comparison to what others around us are doing for this world. But a tiny little bit of service done for eternity is of far more value than 100 years of service done for this world and for things of this life. God will have his harvest. It will always be there, and is often darkest before the dawn. So let us labor on. Let us work while it is yet today. The night comes when no man can work. Our faith must be in God. His grace is irresistible. None can resist the mighty grace of God. So let us have confidence in God. He will have his church. He will build it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's church, God's kingdom, and God's king are always victorious. Better days lie ahead. The best is yet to be. The glory of the Lord shall cover the face of the earth, as the waters cover the face of the deep, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we rejoice that we have thee as our God. We rejoice in the throne in heaven. We rejoice in the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that thou wouldst give to us confidence, take away from us our doubts and fears, grant to us encouragement in thyself, and help us to go on laboring for thee. May we be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and help us to continue to labor. We thank thee, Lord, for those men who labored for the past 50 years, and we pray that thou wouldst raise up others to labor in days to come, and bless the one who this day is joining with us here. Pardon us now our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall now sing in Psalm 92, singing verses 12 to 15. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. But like the palm tree flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grow that is in Lebanon. Those that within the house of God are planted by his grace, they shall grow up and flourish all in our God's holy place. And in old age, when others fade, they fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be fat and full of sap, and be flourishing. Verses 12 to 15, to God's praise.
clerk of the presbytery will now give a narrative of proceedings.
Moderator, before I do so, I'd like to move that Morris Roberts be associated with the presbytery and be invited to join with the brethren as they give a right hand of fellowship to Mr. Farms. The narrative of proceedings, Reverend Stuart Farms, a minister of the Church of Scotland, made an application for admission to the ministry of the Free Church of Scotland continuing through this presbytery, which application received a favourable recommendation from this presbytery on the 18th of March 2022, and thereafter from the training of the Ministry and Admissions Committee. On 25th May 2022, the General Assembly received the application, admitted Mr. Farms, a Minister of the Free Church of Scotland continuing, with effect from the signing of the formula to be arranged by this presbytery, Act 12, 2022. At their meeting on 20th of June 2022, the presbytery resolved to meet in Hunkefectum this day and in this place to oversee the signing of the formula by Mr. Farms, to which the presbytery may now proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Farms, would you come forward, please, and to answer these questions? There are questions which are put, and every person who is entering the ministry of the church has to answer these questions. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the word of God and the only rule of faith and manners?
Yes.
Do you sincerely own and believe the whole doctrine of the Confession of Faith, approved by the General Assemblies of this Church, to be the truths of God contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? And do you own the whole doctrine therein contained as the confession of your faith?
Yes.
Do you sincerely own the purity of worship presently authorized and practiced in this Church? And also own the Presbyterian government and discipline? And are you persuaded of that the said doctrine, worship, and discipline and church government are founded upon the scriptures and agreeable thereto?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is King and head of the church, has therein appointed a government in the hands of church officers, distinct from and not subordinate in its own province to civil government, and that the civil magistrate does not possess jurisdiction or authoritative control over the regulation of the affairs of Christ's church? And do you approve of the general principles embodied in the claim, declaration, and protest adopted by the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland in 1842, and in the protest of ministers and elders, commissioners from presbytery to the General Assembly, read in presence of the Royal Commissioner on 18th May 1843, as declaring the views which are sanctioned by the Word of God and the standards of this Church with respect to the spirituality and freedom of the Church of Christ and her subjection to Him as her only head and to His Word as her only standard?
Yes.
Do you promise that, through the grace of God, you will firmly and constantly adhere to and in your station to the utmost of your power assert, maintain and defend the said doctrine, worship and discipline and the government of this church by kirk sessions, presbyteries, provincial synods and general assemblies?
Yes.
Do you promise that in your practice you will conform yourself to the said worship and submit yourselves to the said yourself to the said discipline and government of this church, and not to endeavor, directly or indirectly, the prejudice or subversion of the same.
Yes.
Do you promise that you shall follow no device of courses from the doctrine, worship, discipline, and government of this church?
Yes.
Do you renounce all doctrines, tenets, or opinions whatsoever contrary to or inconsistent with the said doctrine, worship, discipline, and government of this church?
Yes.
Do you promise that you shall subject yourself to the several judicatories of this church?
Yes.
I would now ask you if you would sign the formula, which is basically a summary of the answers to these questions. I would now invite the presbytery to give the right hand of fellowship to our brother. Now ask the Reverend Bill Scott if he would address a word of exhortation to Mr. Farms.
Moderator, may I presume on your kindness and your presbytery and invite Mrs. Farms to come and sit at the front, please. Reverend Stuart Farns. Stuart, brother, welcome. Paul writes in various places to the different churches, commending different servants and asking that the local congregations would receive such a man. Now that word receive is certainly to take him amongst them, that he would be one with them. And it's interesting, we'll come back to that in a moment, but first, to you personally, I want to give Psalm 97. I'll not read it all, you can do that at home. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad, and so on. That's the last verse. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The Lord reigneth. How often, perhaps, do we say ourselves, or do we hear others say, oh, I've not got such and such a hat on? And we're excusing ourselves some responsibility, or some joy, or some pleasure. I've not got such and such a hat on. That can never be said of the Lord God. For when the Lord reigneth, it is the total Lord who reigns. There is not one part of God that is at rest when he is reigning. His love is active. His justice is active. His goodness is active. His mercy is active. His majesty is active. All that God is, He is when He reigns. When He is a father to His children, it is all of God who is that father. Perhaps this may be of some help to you in days to come, brother, when you feel the Lord's hand of providence to be rather heavy, and you think to yourself, but what of His heart? He is all of God when He is correcting us. He is all of God when He is rebuking us. He is all of God when He takes us in the darkness and hugs us to Himself in Christ Jesus. May that be a blessing to you. Psalm 97. Now I did say that Paul writes on a number of occasions to different churches to receive such and such a one in the Lord. He said it regarding Apollos. But one at the other end of the scale, we might think, is Onesimus. And writing to Philemon, he says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him. That is my own heart. It is for us to receive you. It is for us to make you truly welcome. And we are very different. We have heard of two elderly ministers today coming from vastly different experiences and knowing vastly different experiences as they serve the Lord. You will find us a motley crew, but we receive you amongst us. We welcome you amongst us. But you do not come by yourself. And Paul writes in Romans 16, I command unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. We welcome you, Phoebe. We welcome you as Stuart's helpmeet, the one given to him by the Lord. We receive you and do welcome you. Brother, the Lord bless you richly. I wouldn't mind starting again with you.
Yeah. Consent, Alex. Our closing praise is Psalm 72. Again, an emphasis here on Christ as the King. Psalm 72, we'll sing verses 17 to 19. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed, all nations shall him call. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. Be blessed in him, O give the intimations.
Moderator, intimations really are that everyone is welcome to join with us in the hall where there will be food provided and presentations will then follow and the presbytery will close for the benediction.
Let us stand for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.